They said I was Superman, that I was having a major impact on the church. The problem is that a lot of times the capes that we wear are the very same things that can choke us. Today we're talking about boundaries, burnout, and why the ministry wasn't meant to be run on fumes. Now let me be clear up front. I myself have never hit the point of a full-on burnout, but I've experienced a lot of the symptoms. That slow soul leak, the blurring of boundary lines, and the desire and hunger to always be the hero. For me, it actually started when I was interning at my church that I grew up in. We had had a busy summer doing lots and lots of work, and I was just on top of it. I was single, I worked full time, but I loved doing ministry stuff. And I remember we just flew through that summer doing project after project after project. And then it came to the end, and my youth pastor was standing up in front of the church sharing about the different people that I poured into this summer. And suddenly there was my name on the screen. My name, my photo, and he had me superimposed over a Superman body. And it basically said, Josh, Superman. And it had a list of everything that I did over the last 2 weeks. And believe me, it was a lot of stuff that I did. I saw that and something sparked within me. Now, nothing against what my youth pastor did. I mean, all he was doing was affirming the leaders that poured out. But in that moment, as I started to hear the applause raise up and saw people look at me and give me a smile and saw my name on the screen, I thought, well, this is it. This is awesome. Like, this is ministry. I suddenly felt myself being affirmed and lifted up, encouraged. I saw the praise of people. And I wanted more. So I kept on doing that. Kept on wanting to be needed. Kept on doing more and more. Kept on holding things together and going above and beyond my job or job description. Again, that's not a bad thing, but like anything, it kicked in my body like a drug. And like any drug, you needed more and more of it, and to push harder and harder and to do more and more work for the adoration, for the praise, for that feeling of that first hit. So I said yes again and again. I picked up the slack, I covered gaps, fixed problems I didn't create, and the church praised me for it. And then as I got older and out of the single life and got married, I still continued with it. I said yes again and again. I picked up slack. I fixed problems that I didn't create, and the church praised me for it. And then when I had my first kid, I continued to say yes again and again. I picked up slack. I fixed problems that I didn't create, and the church praised me for it. And then as I had my second kid, I said yes again and again. I picked up slack. I covered gaps. I fixed problems I didn't create. And the church praised me for it over and over. And like any drug, it fueled me. It filled me. It made me feel alive. But what I didn't realize is that I was slowly deteriorating inside, because the truth is you can't give 100% to everything and everyone. And so there is always going to be a lack. There's always going to be one that's getting 75% and the other that is getting 25%. And so while I pushed in the ministry and blurred those boundary lines, others suffered for it. In episode 2, we talked about the problems when it comes to a church culture that praises the overwork, praises those and encourages those to continue to lay everything down on the line for the sake of not the ministry, but for the church and for the brand. But today I want to go a bit deeper than this, because the problem isn't just crossing a boundary line, going a little bit further, just one more late night. Now, burnout isn't just collapsing on the ground. A lot of times that's what we think of, or someone just completely breaking in front of everyone. See, I think burnout is a lot deeper than that. And most importantly, it starts a whole lot earlier than that. See, burnout is about becoming vulnerable, deeply vulnerable. And I think a lot of what we're seeing in the church exposure right now is because of burnout and because there were lines and boundaries that were crossed a long time ago. And what starts off as a simple line crossing for something small, like a little bit of extra time or a little bit more of sacrificing my family, ends up becoming a larger problem and a larger problem until we're blurring and crossing so many boundary lines that we've lost all sake of integrity. I think the problem lies with five main areas that we have to be careful of, that boundaries that we have to make sure that we are controlling and keeping in line. And if we're not, it can lead to us spiraling out. Those are the boundaries that are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. When boundaries blur, especially in our ministry, it's not long before other lines start getting crossed. So let's take a deep dive. Let's look at the problem that lies within these boundaries and how many times we can cross them and the problems that lead to us crossing those lines. Sure, it starts small, but then it can just spiral from there. The first one, the mental boundaries. I know for me, I started to build my entire identity on what I was doing for the ministry. On how many things that I was juggling, on how many times I was called up for meetings that weren't within my job description because of how much they needed me and how much they wanted me and how much I was bringing to the team. And this lie began to form in my head that my value is equal to how much the ministry actually needs me. More ministry equals more value. And so I continued to work harder and I continued to do more and I became very good at it and I received lots of praise and lots of adoration and lots of affirmation. People were thrilled with the events that I was doing and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is that I was building my entire identity, not on Christ, but on what I was doing as a pastor. And the problem is no matter how good you are at that, eventually the praise will grow smaller. Eventually, the applause will die down. And when that happened for me, I wasn't just feeling tired. I felt lost because my entire self, I felt lost because my entire self was wrapped up in the identity of being this ministry jack of all trades. See, when ministers build their identity off of what they're producing within the ministry, if we're not careful, the problem lies with our checks and balances, and oftentimes we start blurring them and losing them. Why? Because we care more for the product than the principle, than the integrity. We start feeling like if I'm doing more, then I'm not only doing good, but because we're trying to produce so much more, it justifies corners that we cut and little shortcuts here or there. We see manipulation from the pulpit start with the subtle belief that I need to keep them here, that I need to entertain them, that I need to keep on pouring out to them. And so because of that, because I need their focus, I can twist some things here and there because it pulls them in. I can steal someone else's quotes and use them as my own because they need to pull from me. They need to grow from me. I am needed. And what happens is the more we do that, yes, we may keep the audience, but in the process, we lose our integrity. Then there's the emotional boundaries. The problem with that is that, let's be honest, a lot of pastors, we carry more of an emotional burden then it's probably healthy. I mean, we meet with people, we counsel with people, we help guide and coach them. We lead others closer to God. We do hospital visits. We're there for the funerals. We're there for the weddings, the happy moments, the joys, the sorrows, and the sadness. And meanwhile, we're carrying burdens sometimes that weigh us down emotionally. And the problem is that too many times people don't find the right outlets for that. And so we create unnatural and unhealthy boundaries, or we just blur them completely. And what ends up happening is you see pastors and ministers and staff people that start developing emotional bonds with people that they shouldn't, in ways that are way closer than they should, because they have no outlet or don't have a healthy outlet for the emotions that they're feeling. We see ministry relationships that cross the line because they're looking for an emotional fulfillment. Oftentimes, abuse or control starts and stems from unhealed emotional wounds that those leaders have, and yet they mask them by spiritual authority. Then there's the physical boundaries. This is when we push and we work and we continue to blur boundaries. We don't say no. We never stop. We never rest. Sometimes it starts with just one more late night text message, or let me just get this phone call, or let me just add a couple more meetings. I know I'm off the clock and I know I can't be doing this, but you know what? I just need to. And believe me, I realize ministry-wise, there are those moments where we have to do that. There are those emergency calls that come through. I'm not saying just don't answer them. But how many times have we answered them in the sake of an emergency and it's just, hey, can you give me the scriptural reference for this? Something that could have been done during office hours or not during family time. And yet, we continue to push through. We continue to respond. We skip just one more Sabbath. See, the danger of physical depletion isn't just that we feel drained. The truth is, I don't know about you guys, but the more drained I feel physically, the more it affects my everyday attitude and my thought process. The more depleted we are, the more that it clouds our judgment, our decision making. Oftentimes, the more depleted we are, the more we lose focus. And what's crazy is how many times have we been there really trying to finish that series that we've been working on, or that teaching, or maybe you're really trying to put this event together and you just feel like you're just hitting a wall. And so what do? We continue to push. We continue to strive. We give up that rest day. We continue to push. And what we don't realize is working on fumes has already expended our focus. And yet we continue to push. So we're getting nowhere. But we're giving up more and more and more. See, one of the things that I found when it comes to that physical depletion, when we don't have good physical boundary lines, is that not only do we end up feeling empty, but we expose ourselves to the attack of the world, and most importantly, to the attacks of the enemy. We allow ourselves to become more and more vulnerable. And so we open ourselves to temptation. We open ourselves to shortcuts. And if we're not careful, we open ourselves up to moral collapse. Then there's the problem of the blurring of spiritual boundaries. This one's a hard one, because the truth is I think not only have I been guilty of it, but I think many of us have as pastors and as ministers. And that's when the ministry becomes more of a machine than an actual ministry. When God sadly becomes a mascot and he's the background to our brand. I know that sounds very pointed, but how many times have we done that? How many times have we experienced that in our life where we're chugging along ministry-wise and we don't even realize that God isn't even a part of it? I think of like Samson and how he grew so used to being filled with God and seeing that amazing strength happen that when he finally reached for it, he didn't realize that God wasn't there. Maybe you've seen it. When sermons become more of manipulation tools instead of theological messages that draw us deeper to God and understand him and grow our walk within him, where we start to twist theology and God's word to fit the brand, to fit the pastor's image, to fit the financial needs of our church. Entire platforms, ministries, and programs, sadly, more and more are becoming built not on Christ, but on charisma. That doesn't happen just overnight, but it happens when we start to allow those boundary lines to fade, when we stop submitting to God and instead we start substituting him. And then the final problem, the relational boundaries. Relational blurred boundaries show up when the family is the last to be supported, the last to be poured into. See, oftentimes we give the ministry the best of us, and our wife, our spouse, our kids, they get the rest of us. And oftentimes that rest of us is not a whole lot. Now, I'll be honest, I've dealt with this problem in my years of the ministry, and we're actually going to be talking about this deeper in another episode coming up. But that boundary line is so important, because what happens is, if we're not careful in how we deal with our relationships and how we deal with those boundaries relationally, we start to become pastors that isolate ourselves. Friendship as a pastor sometimes is a very difficult thing, but it becomes even more harder when we're not careful about those boundary lines. And so we start to push friendships away. Our team feels alone, abandoned. Sometimes relational boundaries aren't taught, they aren't honored, and most importantly, they aren't modeled. And they need to be. But what happens is, when we do it and when we lead that way, we open up doors to secrecy and church scandals. I think one of the biggest things that can happen when we're not careful with our relationship boundaries is this: we become the lone wolf. And not that the lone wolf is bad. Some of us strive to be the lone wolf, but when we've pushed everyone out and everyone away, then you get to a point where no one really knows who you are. And when no one knows who you are, it becomes easy for us to hide. It becomes easy for us to spiral. And most importantly, it becomes easy for us to fall. Now, the tragic part is that a lot of churches, they reward this kind of behavior. They reward the things that lead to this very thing. Sure, they're not encouraging, hey, we want burnout. But they applaud the hustle. They protect the brand, even when the soul is breaking on the inside. See, if we don't talk about this now, we will be forced to talk about it during the fallout. But at that point, the cost won't just be exhaustion. The cost will be trust, integrity, and sadly, a witness to the world that they no longer believe. Okay, that can be quite heavy, deep, and a little bit saddening to talk about these things, but the truth is that there is good news. See, boundaries aren't just the solution to burnout. They're a reflection of our spiritual health and well-being. So what does healthy look like in those five areas? How can we create these boundaries and know that they're for our benefit? Let's start off with the physical health boundary. It's important to make sure that you are scheduling time off, breaks, rest, not as a reward, but as a weekly rhythm that you create. And then here's the biggest thing: honor those times off. You are doing no one any good by working 100 hours a week and by pushing yourself 7 days a week. As I said, when we start to lose focus and we feel that depletion, sometimes there's this lie that creeps in to just keep on pushing, but in the end, it's kind of like a car in a rut. The more you rev that engine, the more you spin those wheels, the deeper and deeper down you go. Sometimes you need to take a step away. Sometimes you need other help. Sometimes you need just a break in order to feel that rejuvenation and to get that focus back. Realize rest isn't a retreat for the faithful. Rest is something that we all need to live in, and we all desperately need. I find for myself sometimes when I choose to get rest, when I choose to take a break, when I have a vacation day or a day off, Sometimes it's in those moments of rest where all of a sudden God is starting to spark some new ideas within me, or that message that I just couldn't finish, all of a sudden, man, that point came out, or that scripture came up. Sometimes it's in that rest that I find that new strength, that I finish what I started. Granted, I just write it down as a note because I don't want to give up that rest time. But sometimes we push so hard, and what we really need is that rest for our bodies, for our minds, for ourselves. And there's the mental health. Hear me when I say, you are not what you produce. You're not. I realize that can be seen as a negative thing, but it's also a positive thing. You are so much more, and your identity is so much more than honestly just being a pastor. Your identity is so much deeper than just being a husband or a wife or a son or a father or a mother or a daughter. Your identity needs to be wrapped up in God first and foremost. Where is your identity and where does it lie in? Because maybe some of us need to get back to understanding where identity is first founded within, and that's within Christ. Remembering that we're his beloved first. Also realize saying no is a good practice to start. Repeat after me, no. I'm not saying say no to everything, but it's important to start, for your mental sake, saying no to certain things when you know you're carrying and juggling much more than you can handle. Then there's the spiritual health. What are good boundaries there? Let's start with our Sabbath. Sabbath is obedience, it's not indulgence. That falls along the lines of rest, but realize that's also honoring God and the breaks that he set up for us all the way back at the beginning of time. But then also, are we choosing to listen, and I mean really listen to God, not just work for him? How many times do we do that as pastors? We spend so much time in the Word. We spend so much time dissecting it. If I'm writing a message, I've got all the different commentaries and the lexicons and all the cross-references, and I'm diving through the scriptures, and this one lines up here, this one lines up here, and I can spend 4 to 80 hours a week writing a message or writing a whole series. And yet when I walk away from that week, how much of that time in God's Word was spent on me, on my growth and my walk? See, as pastors, we're spending so much time in the Word for others, but are we actually doing it for ourselves? And most importantly, are we actually allowing God a chance to speak to us? And if he is, are we even giving him the opportunity to do that? Meaning, are we listening to him? Nothing's better than God speak to me and then just walking away or getting distracted by something else. Are we allowing God to speak to us, and are we truly listening to him? Start setting up that boundary of saying, God, I'm going to sit here for a couple of minutes and I'm just going to wait on you. I'm just going to listen to you. God, speak to me. Another healthy thing is to really sit and ask yourself, is the pace that I'm putting out in the ministry reflective of trust in God, or my anxiety in myself, and my anxiety in the world? Then there's the emotional boundaries. Leaders, we need a safe space to be able to process the grief, the joy, the pain, the hurt, the emotions that we are carrying. Why? Because we carry far too much than we should. And oftentimes we just bottle it up. We press it down. We push through. And the problem is that anything under pressure is eventually going to blow out. So we need to find those off-ramps, those moments, those places, those people that we can share our heart, our burden. We can process those things. And also, we need to be able to process them to God. A lot of us, we feel like emotional honesty is a weakness, but it's not. Some of us need to be able to let off the emotional load that we are carrying and find the support and help of others, and most importantly, God, to be able to process and move through those things. Then there's the relational health. Are your families really your ministry? If you're married, if you have kids, they should be your first ministry. They are the ones that God has entrusted you with for the full-on growth. Are we actually treating them as our ministry, or do we treat them as a distraction from it? Can't believe I got to do this. I can't believe I got to spend time here. I'm busy working on messages and teachings. I don't have time for this. Also realize, I know as a pastor it's hard, but a good boundary to set up is realizing that you need a friend or two. You need, as my youth pastor used to put it, a black hole that you can share those things with and know that it's not going to come out anywhere else. Know that they're going to help guide, lead you, and if need be, correct you. We need a friend or two. I'm not saying you have to have like hundreds of them all over the place, but you need a real deep friend or two. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. See, the thing to understand with healthy boundaries is they're not a wall to keep the ministry out of our lives. Instead, healthy boundaries are fences that are meant to keep our souls safe. So how do we live this in real time? Especially when the culture that we live in seems to have the hustle and the push baked into the system. Let's talk some real practical steps for staff, leaders, and congregation members. For staff, what are some real practical steps that you can start doing this week to create those healthy boundaries? First and foremost, practice your Sabbath. Even if your church doesn't promote it or talk about it, you need to have those days where you can find rest, where you can find your rejuvenation in Christ. Another thing that would be healthy for you is to create a weekly opportunity, an off-ramp, so to speak, where you have a day outside of your work that you don't talk about work. If you're married and you have kids, it's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, this is a no work day. We're not going to talk about the job. We're not going to talk about the church. We're not going to talk about this new series or this event. We're going to talk about us. We're going to have fun. We're going to do life. It's okay to disconnect for a little bit. In doing that, it's also important to draw clear start and stop times when it comes to your ministry. And I realize ministry is like 24/7. And as I said earlier, you're going to have those emergency moments, those emergency phone calls, those things that you need to address immediately. But you also need to be able to weigh out what is something that I need to deal with right now and what is something that needs me at a later time. Something that I can put off and not be seen as unresponsible or irresponsible. We need to have those clear start and stop times and then honor those start and stop times. Another thing you could be doing is making sure that you're really connecting with God. As we talked about in that last section, if we're truly ministers of God, we need to make sure we are connecting with Him personally. Because the truth is that if I'm not growing with God, all I'm doing is skimming the surface. And all I'm feeding people is that skimming of the surface. If you really want to give people the deep stuff and have them really grow in their walk, we need to make sure that we are doing the same. Another action step you can take is to say no, even when it's something that you want to do. Not too long ago, someone from the congregation approached me about this outing and they needed some people to help with it. And I heard it and I was like, I love this idea. Man, I want to do this. Like, it was something that I was excited about. And I was like, I can pull a team together and all that kind of stuff. But I was also coming off of summer camp, a whole week away from my family working with our students. And then I knew the very next week I had a bunch of other stuff that I had to do ministry-wise. And I realized that this event was going to take place during my Sabbath with my family time. And as much as I wanted to do it, I had to value my family and I had to say no. Realize even if it's something that you're excited about, even if it's something that you want to do, it's okay to say no to. It's healthy sometimes to say no to. For our lead pastors, what are some action steps that you can take to start changing the culture of your church? Start honoring staff when they are taking their rests, when they are taking their breaks and their Sabbaths. Publicly honor them. I don't mean make it like a whole big show, but if someone asks, hey, where's Josh? Hey, Josh just had a huge week. He was doing XYZ for the youth ministry. You should see what the youth are doing, what the students are doing. We want to make sure we don't burn him out. We're letting him have a day with his family because his family is important. Well, where's so-and-so? Well, what's happening here and here? Hey, we want to make sure our leaders pour into you with all the strength that they have. And so because of that, it's important for them to find rest, to find relaxation, to have those moments where they reconnect with God. And you know what? That's an awesome thing. Pray for them during this time. Make it a public thing where we honor those staff that are taking that Sabbath, taking that rest. And when we do that, do you know what it does? It encourages more to do that. What about this? Ask how your soul is. Have you ever thought about doing that with your team? I know it's like a really weird question to ask, but sometimes it's asking those deep questions that really exposes what's going on in the heart of our team. How's your soul today? How's your soul this week? And then create spaces for your team to rest, to relax, and recharge. So that when you ask them how their soul is, it's not just a question that we throw out there and they're like, I'm falling apart. Good, that's good. Okay, continuing on with the agenda. But create those spaces and those places where they can rest, recharge, and relax. Another one that's important for us to do as leads is to treat our staff's families as an investment within the ministry and not free labor. Do you realize when you are pouring into your pastor's spouses, when you're pouring into your pastor's kids that are on your team, you are investing in them? When I have pastors that have and bosses that have done great things for my family, great things for my girls, man, it just revved me up and gave me more energy and encouraged me because my family was being loved by the church. Sometimes our staff families are the last to be loved by the church. So realize that those families, they're worth investing in because they're an investment into the ministry. Don't just treat them like free labor. For the congregation members out there, you're sitting there listening, and these are great things to start in the culture of your church, but you're like, what can I do? I'm not a staff. I'm not a volunteer. I'm not a leader. I'm just someone that's listening to the podcast, and I want to know how I can help keep my pastors from burnout. I would say don't idolize the busyness of your leaders. If you see that they're being stretched thin, sometimes you can see it in their eyes. Offer support. Offer prayers. Say, hey, do you need a break? In fact, maybe that's even a bigger thing that you can do is offer practical support. Maybe you can help watch the kids if they have kids. Give the pastor and their spouse a date night. Maybe it's preparing a meal for them. Or maybe it's just encouraging them. In the face where so many people can criticize, be that person that encourages them, lifts up their spirits, brings a bit of joy into them. And most importantly, and I know we throw this out, but how often do we actually do this? Pray for them, for their hearts, for their rest, for their soul, for their walk with God. Take time to pray for them. Put them on your prayer list. Make sure that you are really approaching God with them and what's going on within their life. Boundaries are key, and they're huge, and they are so important. But maybe you're listening to this and you're like, that's awesome for the future. I'm going to take those advice. I'm going to watch out for those problematic things. I'm going to make sure I draw good boundaries within my life and within all five of those areas. The problem is that I already hit burnout. I'm already beyond exhausted. I'm already hurt, broken, and kind of feel like giving up. What do I do? Realize that it's okay to rest. It's okay to take your time. It's okay to breathe. Most importantly, it's okay to step back for a moment and gather yourself. Sometimes we feel ourselves on that cusp of that burnout, and yet we don't know what to do. Start with just pausing, stepping back, even just spiritually and emotionally stepping back and saying, okay, is the direction I'm going with this going to be healthy for me, my church, and my family? Then start creating weekly rhythms of silence, of solitude, of Sabbath, of the word that we've said over and over and over again in this thing, rest. For us that we push and we go, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel weird. For me, the idea of silence was just, ugh. The first time I did it, I had a hard time with it. Why? Because we're so used to the noise. We're so used to music going, our cars going, or even when I'm doing the dishes, I have something going sound-wise. When I sleep, I need a sound machine. And so the idea of silence is awkward and weird, and yet it's in those moments where I choose to sit outside and just sit there and say, okay, God, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to sit in silence. After that first time, there is almost that breath of relief. In the busyness, silence is something that even for a little bit should be honored, and we don't realize how much we treasure it. Start creating those weekly rhythms where you take some solitude time, some silence time, and some rest time for yourself. To find healing, also, it means sometimes finding an honest community that isn't there for your gifts or for your output, but they're there for you. Those that you can talk to and be honest with and not feel like you have to perform in front of. I feel like this is one of the biggest areas where a lot of pastors struggle, is to find good, real community. Even if that means finding it in other friends, an online community, or maybe it's about finding a group of pastors that you can connect with from other churches and other areas. Maybe you're like me and you realize that your identity was built on the role of pastor and not first and foremost on God. And so, like I had to do, we need to relearn our identity and where it lies first and foremost. And the truth is that sometimes when we start unpacking that, we realize how much we've piled on. You know, not only am I a pastor, but I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm a father, I'm a provider, I'm this, that, or the other. And there's all these things, and those are all important, but we need to get back to the foundation of our identity, which is first and foremost and God alone and Christ alone. Is your identity built on Him? You were His beloved before you did anything else. So we need to kind of detox some of the way that we've allowed our identity to be wrapped up in all of the wrong things and re-understand who we are in God, His plan, His purpose for us. And then depending on what has happened within our relationship, within our community, within our family, it's important to start rebuilding that trust, rebuilding that community, rebuilding the family unit. And it starts with maybe being honest with them and saying, hey, I have not upheld my end of the bargain. You've been getting my leftovers, and I want to make sure you get the best. The scripture that I want to close with today comes from the book of Psalms. It's 127, verse 1. And it's read from the NIV today. And it's a very short verse, but we've probably heard this a ton of times. And it's, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. How many times have we pushed so hard for our ministries that we didn't even realize that God was no longer part of it? Are we building in vain? Because if He's not a part of it, if the church doesn't have Christ as the foundation and as the center of what the church is doing, then guess what? No matter how big we are, no matter how great and grand our program is, if Christ is not the center and the foundation of it, then our building is in vain. Let's get back to Christ being the center and the foundation of it and make sure that what we are building is founded on Him and not just on us. Ministry is a beautiful thing. But it's not meant to cost you your soul. Granted, there are sacrifices that we will have to make as being a Christian, and there are lines that we have to draw and what we're going to follow when it comes to the world and the culture and all that kind of stuff. But God never meant for you to lose your soul within ministry, and yet many of us have sacrificed our soul on the altar of ministry, and that's not the way that it was meant to be. So I hope as you listen to this, you felt a bit encouraged, you felt rejuvenated, you felt new life, and maybe you found that there are new boundaries that you need to draw. Maybe you see the problematic ones, and maybe you've started making those steps to blurring those lines, and you're like, I can't do that. I can't open myself and expose myself to that vulnerability. If that's the case, then that's great that you are realizing that, and that's the purpose of this podcast, to grow and to create healthy cultures, healthy ministries, and most importantly, healthy churches. So thanks for listening today. And if maybe there was something that jumped out at you or really encouraged you, share this, especially with someone that you feel, hey, I think you need help with your boundaries, or hey, I think you're approaching burnout and I just want to breathe a little bit of Christ's life back within you before you spiral out. If you know someone running on empty, then share it with them. Let them know that there's another way. As for next week, we're going to be talking about volunteers and really addressing the fact that are we building volunteer communities that are thriving and growing, or are we building revolving doors that leave our volunteers burnt out, depressed, and hating everything about our ministry? We're going to be talking about building good and healthy teams that last. It's going to be a good one. Don't miss it. Until then, rest, take a breath, set a boundary, and let's keep on going as we aim to go beyond the numbers. Thanks. As we talked about in that last section, how many times, as we talked about in that, and then the final boundary line. So what do healthy boundaries look like? Today, we're talking about burnout, ministry, and how